Next on BYUSN, how far do we expect BYU football to drop in this week's college football playoff rankings? And does it even matter where they end up ranked this week? BYU radio analyst Hans Olsen joins the show to discuss what exactly went wrong for BYU against Kansas, how it might help against Arizona State, and is Saturday's game a Big 12 championship elimination contest?
Also today, BYU women's basketball's dynamic duo, Delaney Gibb and Amari Whiting, in studio to preview tonight's game against McNeese State. And Saturday's reunion with Arizona State got us to dust off the archives. We look back at BYU's best wins over the Sun Devils in this week's Top 5 Tuesday.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, November 19th. I am Spencer Linton alongside Tempe ticket scalper Dave McCann.
I'm not even sure what that is.
You're making some big money this weekend.
Listen,
eh?
I bought tickets from a scalper one time, and we joked that it's probably on the last seat in the stadium, the last row. And he goes, no, 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 they're good, this, good. And we walked up to the last row of the stadium at Jack Murphy, and that's where our tickets were. And that was it for me with scalpers.
But you were in the stadium.
But I was in. And I think Steve Young was playing Ty Detmer or something. It was some NFL preseason from back a long time ago. But that's not the scene that's going on in Tempe. And they're concerned about how many BYU fans are getting into the game on Saturday, so much so that head coach Kenny Dillingham put out this urgent request to his fan base.
If you have tickets and you're an ASU fan, make sure they go to ASU fans, right? There's a lot of BYU fans in the Valley, right? So let's make sure if you're an ASU fan and you own a ticket and you're selling it or you're giving it away, make them show you an ASU hat or an ASU shirt, show something ASU in order to get that ticket.
So last night I talked to the entire BYU alumni board in Arizona on Zoom, like 15 of them. They were having their meeting to plan the tailgate and the service project and all that stuff that you'll be involved in down there. And they're preparing for an army of BYU fans.
Let's do this.
It feels like a bowl game atmosphere with a lot riding on it. But I also feel like it's kind of like when BYU came to Vegas when I was down there working it. And a lot of fans came down, but a lot of fans already live there. And they found ways to get in. And so there's going to be a huge BYU crowd. It's going to be perfect weather, big game atmosphere. Hey, and one thing, don't knock the fans for selling their tickets. The coaches get big money. The payers are paid now to play the game.
Oh, yeah.
And a fan can use their ticket and make some money as well.
So here's the thing. A lot of BYU fans, from what I have gathered, bought their tickets really early because this game was an easy game to get a ticket to when the season began. There are thousands of BYU fans that have had their tickets for months just because this was the easiest trip and they wanted to get out of the cold. Here we go.
There was a line coming out of the ticket office last week that was complaining to another BYU guy who worked there. You guys took all our tickets. Isn't that awesome?
BYU fans, one of a kind. All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
They've been making incredible plays in crunch time to be a clutch team.
And we're a really good football team. And so it's about continuing that journey that we're on and just keep getting better every week.
BYU still controls their path to the Big 12 championship game and the college football playoff.
What's trending presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. Tonight, the latest, greatest edition of the college football playoff poll will be revealed. This time, however, BYU awaits their ranking following their first and only loss of the season to date at the hands of Kansas. So, Dave, where do you expect BYU to land in tonight's college football playoff poll on November 19th, I should remind you? We're talking about this in late November.
This isn't the most important one either, right? That one's still coming. But they fell to 14 in the AP. I think they're gonna head that way. But here's what I'm bracing for. The rankings are going to come out. They're going to hurt our feelings. We're going to be bugged that there are teams ahead of us that probably shouldn't be. We're going to be bugged that that loss to Kansas had more weight than somebody else's loss to somebody else. And that's going to be the reaction from Cougar Nation. Reality is it doesn't quite matter, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But I have a feeling that we've had our feelings hurt before when a committee comes and decides our worth, especially after a defeat. After wins, okay, they're forced to move us to six. After a loss, sometimes it feels like, sweet, they lost, let's get them out. So I have a feeling that we're going to feel that a little bit tonight. I'd be pleasantly surprised if we're sitting at 9 or 10 or 11 or even 12.
12 would be a pleasant surprise for me. I believe that BYU will be outside of the top 12. I think they're going to fall at number 13, just behind Boise State. And this is going to cause huge issues because now Boise State, if they were the number 12 team and BYU were the highest ranked Big 12 team at number 13, that means Boise State gets the first round bye and an automatic spot in the Fiesta Bowl, and the Big 12's left out in the cold. But to your point, it's November 19th. It doesn't really matter, but the optics of it are very interesting because that scenario is out there where the Mountain West champion could be in a better position than the Big 12 champion. Do we really think that could happen? That will come into the conversation tonight when I believe BYU is behind Boise State as we look at their resumes side by side. And notable that even with BYU's loss to Kansas, Dave, Cougars still are 7 spots better in strength of record. They've played a tougher schedule, and they both carry the same record. But we've been joking about it. Boise State has that quality loss on the road at Oregon.
Our loss isn't as good as their loss,
clearly, than BYU losing at home to Kansas.
Yeah, but what Boise State has is what BYU had for a long, long time. Not a case, right? They're in a G5 league. And in the end, the P4s will beat the G5. So if it's Colorado, if it's BYU, if it's Arizona State that wins that Big 12 championship game, compared to whoever Boise plays in the Mountain West championship game, then I think nature will take its course. And along with the 10 SEC teams, there will be a Big 12 team that gets in the mix because of that last bump. That's how the system is set up. The system that BYU's been on the outside looking in on for a long time and mad about, Boise will be mad about. And BYU can be the benefactor if they get to the Big 12 championship game and they win that. I expect them to get a quarterfinal battle, which would mean a first round. But I don't see them backing behind a G5. I don't care who it is.
Maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised tonight and BYU is one spot in front of Boise State and the committee does reward BYU's 2 ranked wins still and they're not caught up in the loss to Kansas. They're still looking at the whole resume. If they do look at BYU's entire resume, then I believe they should put BYU at number 12. But again, it was such a shocking loss at home that I think the committee, human element, human factor in play here, Dave. They're going to react. There's going to be some knee-jerk reaction. So that's why I'm leaning towards BYU being just behind Boise State.
I'm watching SMU. They're going to keep moving SMU up. And SMU, the higher they go, BYU went to SMU and beat them at home. So when we're talking about, if it comes down to who you actually beat, SMU sitting there and climbing, I think they're going to win the ACC. That will help BYU. That should trump. That's a quality win as opposed to a quality loss against what could be a top 10 team. So we'll see how that goes as well.
Yeah, and we'll just get into the dynamics of where we believe the other Big 12 teams will fall in tonight's top 25. What's crazy is Heather Dinich of ESPN pointed out yesterday that even with BYU, if they come in at number 13 or number 14, they would still be the highest ranked Big 12 team in the moment. And because Boise State would be above BYU in what she is projecting, then BYU is usurping one of those SEC teams. She said, in my projection, BYU would then supplant Tennessee, and Tennessee's left out in the cold, and BYU's in, even though they're outside of the top 12, and the Cougars would be playing a road game at Ohio State on December 20th. I know, these are all hypotheticals.
But they could happen.
It is crazy.
Yeah. Here's the bigger question. Does it matter, outside of what we're going to talk about on this show tomorrow and what college football will be a buzz about tonight when the poll comes out, but when these rankings come out tonight, does it really matter where they have BYU in the big picture?
It does to the emotional state of a lot of BYU
fans. Here and now, for sure.
But not really. Yeah. Not really. I think we would all do well to just move on to BYU getting into the college football playoff comes down to one thing, and that is winning a Big 12 championship game.
Yeah.
We have entered that realm. The mulligan is gone for BYU, losing to Kansas at home. There's not a realistic at-large path for BYU in the college football playoff anymore. They needed to be undefeated going into a Big 12 championship game to hope for that. I just don't see it, Dave. I don't see a two-loss BYU team taking the place in an at-large scenario of one of those SEC or Big Ten teams that the committee tend to love so much.
Right, unless they lost Saturday, beat Houston, went to the Big 12, won it. Then they'd have two losses, but they'd have the automatic.
But they would have the auto bid. Yeah, sorry. A two-loss team that doesn't win the Big 12 championship.
Yeah, they're not going to get the benefit of the doubt, and a lot of teams won't. And some will get the way benefit of the doubt, which is what is maddening. But we all know what it feels like when the BCS released their final poll and BYU was on the outside, despite our this or that. You go back to 2001, you know, they're 12-0, and that's when the BCS released them. 12-0 after beating Mississippi State on the road in the SEC. And they go, nah, you guys aren't going to be good enough for our group. So then we go to Hawaii and get beat. And Staley had broken his ankle against Mississippi State. And that that kind of started this whole thing of, hey, what gives? You go back to 96 when they should have been in a big bowl and they got relegated to the Cotton Bowl. And that started the whole process of giving other people a piece of, or at least a seat at the table. But being in the Big 12, you're at the table, and there has to be a benefit. And this is where Brett Yormark earns his cash. He gets Big 12 games on TNT and TBS and all that. That's great. But here is where you're sitting next to the commissioner of the SEC, commissioner of the Big Ten, commissioner of the ACC, and you've got to hold your own for your best teams. And we'll see what kind of weight he's got. But it's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It creates a lot of fodder and conversation for us, Dave, as we watch these things happen. But circling back to your question, does it really matter where they end up tonight? No. The one thing that could be concerning is if the committee has Boise State, for some reason, two spots ahead of a team like BYU. But how much can Boise actually climb? Let's say they play lights out the remainder of the season.
Well, I think they play Wyoming.
They'll dominate Wyoming. They're going to get into the Mountain West Conference Championship game, and it's not going to be against UNLV. It's going to be against Colorado State because of the way the divisions break out. Colorado State is not a great opponent to make a statement against. So even if Boise State finishes 12-1 and are dominant, they're going to need some significant help in front of them with SEC and Big Ten teams losing games that we don't think that they're going to lose.
Hey, look, we feel for them. We've been them.
Yes. Yeah, there's just not much more they can do.
Right.
So maybe 11 or 10 is as high as Boise State climbs, but I am inclined to believe, and you just mentioned it a few minutes ago, that if BYU beats Arizona State or they get into a Big 12 championship game, however they get there, and they have another ranked win in that game compared to Boise State beating Colorado State, I believe the human factor of the committee will be like, no, that like we need to reward the team that has more ranked wins. And it's a Power Four conference champion compared to Boise State. So it could get a little weird, a little dicey if Boise's a few spots ahead of BYU. But other than that, I don't think it really matters where they end up ranked tonight.
No, what really matters is they score touchdowns in the red zone on Saturday.
Yeah.
They take care of business there. And then when they play Houston, they score touchdowns in the red zone against Houston.
And BYU has done this, Dave.
And then when you go to Arlington, you score touchdowns in the red zone and beat whoever's there. Now, another thing we'll be looking at is, you know, Kansas State has been a ranked team all year.
Yeah, how many ranked wins will BYU have after the rankings are revealed?
Is Kansas State out tonight? Is it just SMU?
Do you think BYU will still have two ranked wins at the end of the night?
It's hard to keep Kansas State in the top 25. I'd like them to be there, but that was a brutal loss at home.
Yes, but it is to Arizona State, who the committee is going to rank tonight, and we'll get to where we think the Sun Devils are going to land in just a moment. The thing that's helping Kansas State is, one, they're number 16. So, yeah, you lose at home. But if Arizona State is a ranked team, then that all of a sudden is, like, not that bad of a loss because Arizona State's better and they're ranked. And so many teams between 16 and 25 lost last week.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Bad losses. Washington State lost to New Mexico. Congratulations to Bronco Mendenhall.
That's right.
First ranked
win
for New Mexico since 2003. Like, the tears were flowing in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Louisville loses
a terrible
game.
Maybe they hang in to the top 25.
LSU, out. Missouri, probably out.
But Arizona State will be in, so that's a good chance to at least get three quasi-top 20.
Yes, so I believe Kansas State is going to somehow, they're going to hang on, Dave.
We're going to hear a lot about Arizona State tonight, and they're going to talk about that great win against Kansas State. And no one's going to mention BYU beat Kansas State 38-9. Oh, because it was
a long time ago.
Like when Alabama got beat by Vanderbilt 5 years
ago. But BYU lost to Kansas State. That's what's on top of mind right now.
I
believe that BYU will still have two ranked wins. Okay, where do you expect the Sun Devils to show up in tonight's poll?
Maybe 20, 25, somewhere in there. I mean, they weren't in at all, so they got to get in. I don't think they come charging in. But we'll see because I don't know if, you know, Colorado, I'm curious to see where Colorado goes after pounding Utah. Does Colorado jump higher than Arizona jumps in?
So it's interesting. Colorado is 17. There's not a ton of movement that they can make unless you're going to somehow penalize Texas A&M for being on a bye.
Right. And sometimes they do that.
So at best, I think Colorado is a 15. Kansas State I have coming in at 23 or 24. Arizona State, do not be surprised, Dave, again, because so many teams lost last week, including Missouri, Washington State, Louisville, LSU. There's just not a ton of teams coming up from out of the poll to make a statement either, other than Arizona State and Illinois, kind of. Don't be surprised to see Arizona State be as high as 19 or 20 in tonight's poll. It was so volatile last week that the committee's like, I don't know, what do we do? Like, Arizona State just won at number 16 in dominant fashion, and they were just outside the poll last week, so I think they could come in at 19 or 20. Yeah,
possibly. And they've got Arizona after BYU. That's another emotional game. That's their Utah game. That game can go either way. All of a sudden, Arizona's found their offense. So there's no cakewalk. But Arizona State has to win this week. And this would be a high-quality win for them. And I even think after this week is when they would make that big jump.
So what's interesting is you bring up a good point, and we're going to talk about this at length as the week progresses. This Arizona State BYU game being a quote unquote Big 12 championship elimination game.
And a lot of the national pundits have called it that.
It is more so for Arizona State, believe it or not, than it is for BYU. There are multiple scenarios, heaven forbid, where BYU loses the game in Tempe and the Cougars are still playing in Dallas. Like, more than you would think. Yeah. I was up until 2 a.m. last night going through 75 different scenarios, Doctor Strange style.
And your best ones aren't unreasonable.
No.
No.
They're not.
What is reasonable is get your act together and go down there and play good
football.
Win
the game. That is the simplest.
You can't talk your way into the big games now. You've got to earn your way in. And so here's the one on Saturday. Go win that, and then everyone's going, yeah, okay, that's what they're doing.
BYU is in.
As
BYU wins
to,
on Saturday,
you know,
it's happening. They're going to the Big 12 championship.
It's fun times. Big game.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, huge game. And, again, it has prompted another question we'll discuss later in the week. It's the biggest game since when? I mean, you fill in the blank. Our question of the day today is this. Does it even matter to you where BYU ends up in tonight's college football playoff rankings? Why or why not? At Senior Monkey Face on X answers. It will give us an indication of how the committee sees BYU, so I am interested. But ultimately, I think we know that BYU has to win the last two games to have any chance at the playoff. They don't, though. They don't have to win the last. They don't have to win the last two. It certainly would guarantee BYU's spot in the Big 12 championship game. But I'm telling you what, Dave, this Big 12, the unpredictable
fashion.
You don't
beat Houston at home. You don't deserve to.
No.
That doesn't mean you won't, but. You don't get back in.
I'm telling you, there are three or four paths.
Going through the front door.
Where BYU, if they only beat Houston and lose Arizona State, they could still end up in Dallas.
Yeah, that I can see.
Matt Willerton on Instagram answers, nope. Because if BYU wins out, then you go into the playoffs. If not, then you're not.
You're going to the Alamo Bowl.
Or most likely. Bowl. It's either the Alamo Bowl or you would think the greatest edible mascot bowl game
by the way,
man.
Those two bowls will be the richest bowls in the history of BYU football if they can get to one of those. That's where we are now compared to where we were in July going, do you see six or seven wins on there? And what is that, back to Shreveport or whatever?
Yeah.
We're in a different place now. It's a fun place to be, and one loss doesn't ruin the place.
Yep.
You know,
I know.
It just doesn't.
You had room for a mulligan.
It just makes this next game all the bigger.
Hashtag BYUS on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Do or does it matter to you where BYU ends up tonight's college football playoff poll? Answer the question.
Hey, Coordinator's Corner with Jay Hill and Aaron Roderick was outstanding yesterday. If you missed it, it's waiting for you on demand at BYUSN.com.
Jay Hill's faced Cam Scadaboo before at Weber State when Scadaboo was at Sacramento State. And just saying, Jay's team shut him down.
I like that.
Up next, BYU radio analyst Hans Olsen on why BYU came up short against Kansas. I think we all know the answer, but he's got some details that maybe you didn't think about. And is it really a Big 12 championship game elimination contest on Saturday? This is BYUSN.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
The biggest game in the Kalani Sitake era.
I dare say the biggest game in BYU football history up to this point. Opportunity to actually get to the Big 12 title game in the expanded playoff. The stakes could not be higher. This team's got to figure it out going into Arizona State.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Dave McCann, Spencer Linton. You know who we like to talk to on days like this? Hans Olsen, a radio analyst for BYU football on BYU Radio. And topic number one, that loss to Kansas, and what's going on with the offense? Hans, two offensive touchdowns in the last two games. That's not enough. What's going on with the offense?
Well, I think that Jake Retzloff can play a little bit better. Obviously, a couple of overthrows in that game against Kansas. Obviously, one underthrow that led to an interception. And I think Jake Retzloff could play better. I think that he would agree with that. Obviously, Aaron Roderick, he'll clean things up. He'll dial things up a little bit. But people got to remember, against UCF, there was some good high-flying offense. You know, against Oklahoma State, there was an 80-yard drive that found the end zone for the win. So there have been great offensive moments this year. I do think Retzloff will figure it out, and I do think things will get going. You know, Dave, I was putting this together, getting ready for the Kansas notes and the call against Kansas. Jake Retzloff's throwing was better in every single category than Jalen Daniels. So I want people to know that Jake had a rough game. I'm sure he knows it. Roderick could have probably called a better game. I'm sure he knows it. They're going to continue to clean things up. But I could go for hours on this, Dave. You know, people are like, oh, there's no way that you should have thrown that post fade and before the second half. You should have ran the ball. Well, what do you think Kansas was thinking that BYU was going to do? They're thinking, well, they're going to run the ball. They ran it all the way down the field. We weren't able to stop it, so shoved the box full. And guess what? Roderick got his defense. We talked to Jake Retzloff after the game. He said there was no safety over the top, that the corner was trying to cover the quarter, and I underthrew it. You know, when you throw that post corner or that post fade, all you got to do is put it on the back pylon where it either goes out of bounds or into the fingertips of Tafatase and no other options. So they'll get better. You know, he's had better games. This offense has had good moments that were packed full of excitement. And I just think people are too quick to get angry about things.
You study the film, as do we, especially on After Further Review. It was the quarterback, it was the play calling, and then it was the other 10 guys on the field. There was a lack of focus, and the guys admitted it afterwards during our post-game interviews, the lack of focus leading up to the game during practice, which I believe is gone this week. I think it's a full focus. But if you look at some of those plays, and let's go to the final drive. You get to the 15-yard line with first down and 2 minutes to go, and you can't get in the end zone. And you run it a few times to the outside, and it just didn't work. Well, those plays did work against Utah. If you remember, Rapati got that 15-yarder to set up the game-winning field goal on that option to the right side, the short side of the field. But all the blocks were made. And against Kansas on those runs, the blocks weren't made, and so the Jayhawks were waiting for Rapati or Edwards or Retzloff, and it didn't really matter. And those plays have worked. When they're blocked, they work. And I think that goes back to the focus.
Yeah, a couple of other things, Dave. You remember the one against SMU where he gets up the sideline, and that was the miracle pitch. And the difference between that and what we just saw in that final pitch option against Kansas, Two differences. One, you get receivers blocking on the outside. They press, and they really get a nice hold and push. Two, Jake Retzlaff holds as he starts to dive, and he delays on the pitch. In fact, if you go back earlier in the game against Kansas, he actually carried the ball all the way into the defensive end and pitched late. You have to pull the defensive end. You've got to make him commit to take on the quarterback. You can't let him scrape and flatten and get out to the tackle. So if Jake would have held just a little bit longer, dived at the line, it would have pulled that defense down, knowing that they had to take care of Retzlaff, and then he could have pitched it. And then you give Rapati just a little bit more of a seam. So, yeah, it goes down to execution. And remember, Dave, they're not looking for the full 6 yards in that moment. If they got the 6 yards, that's great. But you're looking for 3 or 4 yards. Get me to 4th and 2. Get me to 4th and 1. Remember, this is a team that's converted on 16 of 20 fourth down opportunities.
Yeah.
They are an 80% conversion rate on fourth downs. So if you get me into a 4th and 1 or a 4th and 2, then I've got a bevy of plays that can go get me that first down. So when you call that option play, number one, Retzlaff's got to hold onto it, pull towards the line, bring that defensive end down, and force their hand, and then pitch it late, just like he did against SMU, just like he did against Utah, and just like he did earlier in the game against Kansas. But for some reason, I don't know if it was the nerves or if he felt like there was backside pursuit or what it was where he ditched out that ball quick. But if he holds that just a little bit longer, I think that there's more opportunity for him.
All right, let's talk about something fun. They got to work out the offense in practice. We expect them to be better on Saturday. Here we are, mid-November, and BYU's got the number one defense in the Big 12. Total defense, number one. Scoring defense, they're right there. Turnovers caused, they're top of the league. 1 year removed from a really tough year stopping anybody. Is that Jay Hill or is that everybody? But all of whoever it is deserves a shout-out.
So, okay, how about we do this? 5 guys. I'm not talking about the burger joint that cost you an arm and a leg. I'm talking about 5 guys on this defense. Jay Hill is number one. Isaiah Glasker is number two. Jack Kelly is number three. Blake Mangelson is number four. And Jacob Robinson is number five. That to me, that is your defense. Now, you can add in the wrinkles of Gary Anderson, who is a defensive mastermind. You can add in the wrinkles of John Nelson, that offensive linemen are having a really time rooting out. You can add in the staple of a Tyler Batty, who I know people are after because of the antics and the flopping. Stop getting after him. That's stuff I would do. You're just having fun out there. You're trying to draw a flag. Get off his back. They're laughing about it. The other team's laughing about it. It's just them having fun. Tyler Batty is still a stud, and he's still controlling things out there with this defense. But to me, Dave, it's those 5 guys. Jay Hill, Isaiah Glasker, Jack Kelly, Blake Mangelson, and Jacob Robinson. They are dudes, and their box scores are thick. They have piled up so many different big stats, including turnovers and pressures and TFLs and sacks. And I've got a little bit of a crush on those 5 guys right now.
The 5 guys. Well, now I'm thinking about lunch. Thanks for those 5 guys. Tonight, the college football playoff rankings come out. I mentioned earlier in the show, we're probably going to have our feelings hurt because it's the first chance to boot BYU out. Where do you think the Cougars will land, and how much value are you putting into tonight's rankings?
I put zero value into it. Don't care about it. My guess is they fall to number 12, and my gut is that they'll get the win against Arizona State. They'll start to climb a little bit, and things will be fine. But this is why I don't worry about it at all, Dave. I go into this week with just a couple things on my mind. A BYU win, a Utah win, a Colorado win, and a Utah State win. And my weekend is made because that gives Utah State their love, which I love the Aggies. That gives Utah a nice win, but That win ensures that BYU and Colorado will be in the Big 12 championship game as long as they win. So that's all that I'm worried about this weekend.
That's
BYU wins, Colorado wins, Utah wins, Utah State wins. Give me those four wins. And we're talking about good times, Dave. We're talking about Arlington. That's that locks BYU in.
That would be quite a weekend. You're going to have quite a weekend at what used to be Sun Devil Stadium. There's going to be a lot of BYU fans. Even the coach for Arizona State's out begging people, please don't sell your tickets to BYU fans. It feels like it's got all the makings of a bowl game well before bowl season, but it is so meaningful, more so for Arizona State. They have to win. BYU can still get to Arlington if they lose on Saturday. A couple of things would have to happen, but they control their own destiny. But this is going to be a clash of all clashes, and it's fun to be in big games.
It's so fun to be in big games. And by the way, Dave, I'm undefeated in that stadium. So I don't fear that stadium. That I'm excited to get back to it. Never lost in it. I only played in it once, but we won. It doesn't matter. The number of times that I won in there doesn't matter, Dave. It's just that I've never lost in that stadium. That's all that's important.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
But it just doesn't get any bigger. It doesn't get any better. It doesn't get any more fun. You know, when you know that it's all on the line and that you can seal your destiny and you can make something great of this season, which you want to do at this point. You know, you don't want to lose this one and then give Arizona State the tiebreaker and then have to hope that everybody else does something the following weekend to give you an opportunity to be in the Big 12. You still control it. So go into practice knowing you control it and get yourself prepared and ready to go get a win at Sun Devil Stadium.
These will be fun moments, and you'll be on the call with Greg Wrubell in the sunshine, far cry from the other night, in a big, big game. Thanks, Hans.
I'm going to do this one with my shirt off, man. We're talking about 85, 90-degree weather. I'm going to get those abs out. I'm going to get those guns out and get those ready.
Please tell me. Please keep the shirt on. But call a good game. You're very good at it.
We'll see how it goes, Dave. I'm not going to make any promises.
Shirtless Hans, at least it's on radio. Coming up later tonight, it's an all-new After Further Review. Blaine Fowler, David Nixon, and I break down all the big moments from the Kansas game, including that game-changing pooch punt. We'll also preview Arizona State. You can watch AFR 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app and ESPN Plus.
They have those booth cameras now, Dave.
Oh, that's true.
There's no hiding.
You're right.
Can you imagine explaining that?
We won't be able to unsee that.
Hans, why is your shirt off? Ahead of Saturday's showdown in Tempe, we'll hear from head coaches Kalani Sitake and Kenny Dillingham. They like each other.
Hey,
they respect each other.
Wrubell, don't get any ideas. Do not follow Hans.
This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Dave McCann. It is time for headlines.
We got a lot to talk about. Let's get to it. Game prep underway for BYU. Take on Arizona State Saturday. Head coach Kalani Sitake spoke to the media about the importance of the game between two ranked teams that no one predicted before the season.
They're ranked for a reason, you know, I feel this like connection to them because nobody cared about us before the season. You know, none of you guys even predicted this happening. So to have this game be something with a lot of meaning is really cool at this point. And that has that's a huge compliment to their coaches, their staff, and their fans. And so it's going to be fun to go down there and have this matchup.
Coach Sitake named the FBS Region 4 Coach of the Year today by the American Football Coaches Association. Cougars are 9-1, control their own destiny to the Big 12 title game. And we'll see where they land tonight in the college football playoff rankings. That's at 7 Eastern on ESPN.
Speaking of Arizona State, their head coach Kenny Dillingham specifically addressed coaching against Kalani Sitake and his impressions of how Coach Sitake has helped BYU off to a 9-1 start.
Well, he's one of the best defensive minds in football. We've played him. I've played him multiple times. Phenomenal defensive coach. He's one of, he's definitely in the top three of just best people in the profession from a head coaching perspective. Like, you would want to have your child play for him. Like, he's just an unbelievable person. You can just see his energy with the players, his connection with the players. That's why they play really hard.
Conversation with Kenny Dillingham at Big 12 Media Days. He's very genuine. It's easy to see why he's turning things around in Tempe. But if you're a BYU recruiter and you're working with a kid, just play that soundbite from Kenny Dillingham.
Yeah. Especially if he's trying to decide between BYU and Arizona State.
This is what their coach said.
That's what their coach said, what you should do.
Arizona State, a 3.5-point favorite on Saturday. Kickoff 3:30 Eastern on ESPN and BYU Radio. Pregame coverage for Saturday's game begins at 1:30 Eastern, live on BYU TV and BYU Radio. And I'll add this. You are all rooting for Kansas to beat Colorado. Oh, my goodness. It's maybe as important as BYU beating Arizona State.
The edict has been announced here this morning. Thank you, Spencer.
You got it.
Cougar kicker Will Farron named a semifinalist for the Lou Groza Award, nation's best kicker. Farron leads the Big 12, is fifth in the country with 19 field goals made this season, including this game winner, to beat the Utes. He's made 86% of his field goal attempts this season, including 11 in a row. You know what? We like to see touchdowns instead of field goals this weekend, but when he comes in, it is money.
Big game Bill, Dave. BYU men's basketball, specifically freshman Yegor Demin, named Big 12 Newcomer of the Week for a second straight week after averaging 15 points and 6 assists per game last week for the Cougars. BYU back to the floor Saturday against Mississippi Valley State.
How many times you got to win the Newcomer Award before you're not the newcomer? Just give him the regular award.
To be just straight Big 12 Player of the Week?
Yeah, why not?
Fair enough.
Looking forward to seeing him Saturday. Women's basketball look to get to 5-0 against McNeese State tonight over at the Marriott Center. You can see it on ESPN Plus or listen on BYU Radio, 9 Eastern Time. Delaney Gibb, Amari Whiting, outstanding guard tandem. They're in studio. We'll talk to them in just a few minutes.
The doubles teams from BYU men's tennis, Zach Fuchs and Wally Thane, and women's tennis, Bobo Huang and Kendall Kovic, representing BYU men's and women's tennis squads beginning competition at the NCAA Division I Individual Championships today in Waco, Texas. Of note, this is the first time a men's doubles team from BYU has qualified for the individual championships since 2004.
Wow.
And the first time any women's player from BYU has qualified since 2001. They got a good thing going for the first time in a while.
What a week.
No kidding.
Hey, you know when you go through the drive-thru and you order a sandwich and they say, hey, do you want to combo that? And you go, yeah, I don't know why I wasn't thinking of that. I'll take the combo. We got a combo tonight. You got Kalani Sitake and you've got Kevin Young.
Yep.
Together on the Coach's Show. Fries not included.
Supersize it.
Pretty good. 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
And it's, as mentioned, a ball night for BYU women's basketball. Delaney Gibb and Amari Whiting join us in studio to preview tonight's showdown with McNeese. And why this dynamic duo of guards is gelling so well. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Sets the high screen. Whiting, strong drive with the right hand. Scoop and score. Then Amari Whiting comes right back with the steal. Has the shot blocked by Delaney Gibb. In a wide open three made by Delaney Gibb. And she has 11 points to lead all scorers.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. He is Dave McCann. I am Spencer Linton. And the two women who just produced those highlights are now with us in Studio B. Amari Whiting and Delaney Gibb, welcome to BYU Sports Nation.
Thank you.
Okay. So understated.
It's nice.
This is. I'm glad you both said that at the same time because I was speaking with your coach yesterday and she talked about just the natural chemistry that both of you have on the guard line, how it's helping you really, really come into another level of basketball. So Amari, what is it? Take us back to the first time you played against or with Delaney and where that relationship began.
Yeah, I think me and Delaney played on the Adidas circuit with Natalie Williams. I can't remember, how old were you?
I was a freshman in high school.
So 14 years old?
Yeah.
15 maybe?
15, yeah. And we just played that summer together. I remember she was on her own age group and then a bunch of girls on my team got hurt. So we brought her up and then just was like, oh yeah, Delaney's good. So we're gonna have her stay for the rest of the year. And so we just got to play together and It was really fun. I think we had a good summer. So.
What was your first impression of Amari, Delaney?
I actually had heard about Amari way before that. I heard that she was at a BYU basketball camp and stole the ball from Shaylee Gonzalez and was offered immediately. And so I had heard of her. I was like, oh my gosh, Amari Whiting. And then I got to Natalie Williams and my coach was like, that's Amari. And so I knew her. I definitely like looked up to her. I was younger and yeah, she was just super cool, super feisty, great defender, great offensively too, and so, yeah.
The legend who stole the ball from Shaylee Gonzalez.
Yeah, that gets you a scholarship. All right, a question for both of you. What is it about Amari that makes you a better player? And then I'll ask you the same.
I would just say she's the most determined, competitive person that I know. It doesn't matter if we're in practice or in a game, she's going to fight and she's going to win the game. So she's going to do whatever it takes to win the game. She's going to lock in on defense. She's going to make big plays and tough shots offensively.
That's a good scouting report. What about?
Honestly, I would say the same. I feel like Delaney's just got this, like she seems, like, quiet on the outside, but she's, like, so calm and collected. Like, nothing rattles her. Like, this season, like, everyone's seen she's made big shots in crunch time. Like, yeah. Delaney is just very, like, composed. But like a lot of people don't know, like she's really vocal, like in practices, like she's yelling, like helping us get going. And like even like for being a freshman, like we'll get in like our huddles and she'll like tell us something that we need to do. And like we all take it because Delaney's that good. Like we just know. So.
Okay. So again, Delaney, off the court, you're a little understated, but Amber Whiting said she's fierce competitor on the floor. So where does that switch come from when you get on the basketball floor?
Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of been, I've had a lot of people say like silent killer, like I've just kind of been pretty even keeled, like mellow, not doesn't talk a lot. But I think once I get like on the court, it's a different story. I want to win. And so whatever I have to do, like I'm going to do that to try and win the game.
Interesting, because you're the quarterback on the floor as the point guard in charge of really helping Delaney get open shots and all this, get the ball down low, and you have to be the vocal leader, and so now you got two of them.
Yeah, that's way easier.
It's simple
what,
dynamic.
What pressure does that take off of you?
Well, it's just like knowing that someone else, like I think it does help that me and Delaney have play together because she kind of knows like what Amber wants and like how we do things, and just like it's like having like a literally like a second voice, like it's just it makes it easier. And I think everyone, like we are able to switch off one and two, and so it just is like it's interchangeable. And I don't know, it's kind of like having like a twin out there. I don't know.
Well, I asked your coach yesterday what makes this relationship so successful and efficient on the floor, and she said she alluded to what you're talking about, which is just there's just almost like you don't have to communicate, but you're still communicating. Yeah. However, she did say they need to talk more on defense. Okay, so talk to us about that specific dynamic and what your coach means when she says you need to talk more on defense. How specifically does she want you to communicate more?
I think like even just in the last game it showed. Like I think we're a really good defensive team, but it just is like really talking. Like I think a lot of times last game, like if you saw like the switches, the slips, like we know what we're doing. And I feel like everyone, like we've worked on it in practice, like everyone's like mastered this, but it's just like when we get in games, we can't read each other's mind. Like as much as like we can, we still can't, you know? And so just that, like talking on defense, especially like boxing out, like I think that's been like something that's, you know, kind of like hurt us in the past. But now that like Lauren is gone, Lauren Gustin, like we all have to step it up. So yeah, I would just say that.
The numbers tell a great story. You're not intimidated by this level of basketball. Competition's gonna get greater, especially as Big 12 play comes. So how has all that experience with the Canadian national teams prepped you for this is just business as usual, as opposed to, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm here?
Yeah, I think it's helped a ton. Canada basketball camps are no joke. Like we're competing every second that we're on the court. And then in competitions, we're playing some of the best girls in my age group. Yeah. And even sometimes I'm playing up, and so the best girls that are older than me. And so I think that really helped coming here, just knowing that I've played at a high level. Like, I know that I can do it. I can trust the preparation that I've put in, the time that I've put in the gym, and so it's helped a ton.
Yeah.
Delaney Gibb and Amari Whiting of BYU Women's Basketball on BYU Sports Nation. We'll finish up with this. And this maybe resonates more with you, Amari, because you were here last year. Delaney, you were probably watching, but the third quarter last year was not a great quarter for BYU women's basketball. Like, it was typically kind of where the wheels sometimes fell off.
Yeah.
This season, it has been entirely opposite, where the third quarter has been like this great strength for this team. So what changed in the halftime locker room and the approach to start the second half so quickly?
I honestly, like, a lot of people have been asking me this, and I don't even know. Like, I just think that this team is so different, and, like...
Is it the Delaney factor?
I think it is. But it's just, like, we have a whole new group of girls, and, like, I feel like everyone is able to just stay positive in the locker room this year, and just everyone's, like, taking each other's advice and just kind of building each other up, and like we talk about what we need to fix and how we can fix it. Like, even like a lot of times we'll stand up and get on the board and draw, like, hey, on screens this is happening, here's how we can fix it. Like, we're finding solutions to it and not just saying the problems, and so I think that has helped a ton. But honestly, this group, we want to win, and we're all hungry for it, and like, I really think that it's just who we are.
Coach Whiting says she yells a lot and she feels that's effective.
Well, I guess.
Yeah, as a parent,
I think she just yells a lot regardless.
There's a good vibe. There's a good vibe with this team. You can see it as we watch it. And the same thing with the men's team, and vibe is so important. But what does the top guard tandem, maybe even in the Big 12, get their head coach for their birthday, especially when one of the coaches is your mother? What did you do yesterday for your mom?
Well, my mom loves Christmas, and so for her birthday, and she's obsessed with Pottery Barn. So, like, decorating her house, like, she loves to decorate. So, obviously, all the new, like, the old decorations can't go in the new house.
No, because they're old, right?
Because they're old. They don't work. So, my dad really just was like, gave her the credit card and was like, you got it.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
So, it was birthday at Pottery Barn. Is that what it was?
Pottery Barn Christmas, yep.
All right. And you passed out a hug?
Yep.
Okay.
I can't wait for him to see the damage on the credit card statement is released.
But the holiday season will be festive at the house.
It will.
That's great. Oh, well, happy belated birthday to Amber Whiting, and great to have both of you here. Good luck against McNeese tonight.
Thank you.
Looking forward to watching you play again. Get to 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can see these two at 9:00 Eastern Time on ESPN+. Spencer and Kristen Kozlowski on the call. Jason Shepherd will have a call on BYU Radio. That's tonight.
Let's go. After the break, we discuss Arizona State and BYU, but from a historic perspective, the top five wins by BYU football against the Sun Devils all time after this. What's number one, Dave? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation.
And then there
as we bring you into the light of five fantastic wins by BYU against Arizona State. Top five Tuesday, counting them down. Dave, start us off in number
1976,
five.
Gifford Nielsen's the quarterback. BYU taking on Arizona State. Cougars got behind early, 21-7. They come back. Giff had 339 yards passing. They win at 43-21.
Number four, 1998. Against number 14 Arizona State, BYU's home opener. Ronnie Jenkins ran for 171 yards and a touchdown. Kevin Federick, 74-yard touchdown pass to Ben Horton. Cougars win big, 26-6.
Number three, we're going to 2021, that big one against 19th-ranked Arizona State. There were all kinds of big plays in this one. Jaren Hall was on fire. Of course, he had Tyler Algiers. Punch-out was the play of the game. We're not going to show you because we're tight on time. Just remember it.
Number two, 1997 at number 14, Arizona State. BYU holding on for a 13-10 win. Brian McKenzie had the lone touchdown, and BYU gets it done. That was a good Arizona State team to finish 9-3.
Number one, 1974, our friend Gary Scheide beats the Sun Devils 21-18. First WAC championship for Lavelle Edwards. Boy, that was a long time ago. Look at that video.
Our elite voice today presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. Rankings don't matter at all, says Salami underscore Kentucky NX. After the loss, the path to the Big 12 championship is pretty simple. Just win, baby. Today's Rise and Shoutout presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics, but the doubles team's in BYU Tennis.
Let's go. Best of luck to them.
Great stuff. Thanks to Hans Olsen, Delaney Gibbon, Amari Whiting. For Dave, I'm Spencer. Go Cougs!